NPR's business news starts with signs of economic growth. These are the latest numbers from the Commerce Department reporting that the economy finally grew last quarter. The gross domestic product, the broadest indicator of economic growth, expanded at an annual rate of 3.5%. It's the first time the economy has formally grown in a year, and it's the fastest growth in 2 years. This pickup comes from more consumer spending, more exports. The Cash for Clunkers program added a boost. Economists are curbing their enthusiasm, however. They say high unemployment is likely to keep this recovery subdued.
The regulatory overhaul proposals are complicated and confusing. We wanted to understand how the rules would actually work if we faced something like last year's collapse of Lehman Brothers or the near collapse of AIG. Would the new proposals prevent a crisis like the one we've just experienced? So we turned to Adam Davidson of NPR's Planet Money to help us figure out what might happen. Hi, Adam.
Hey, Robert.
We just heard Treasury Secretary Geithner refer to facilitating the orderly demise of failing companies. Of course, the demise of firms at the start of the financial crisis was anything but ordinary. So first question, explain the problem. Why was the government unhappy with how they were able to respond to the crisis?
So we have a longstanding tradition in our legal system of bankruptcy, but where if a company fails, that's what you do. But bankruptcy takes years and years and years, and this was a crisis unfolding in hours, and nobody felt like there was years to wait and see what happens with Lehman Brothers or AIG. So we've known about this for a long time, that banks are special institutions, that they have real-time, immediate involvement in lots and lots of companies. So we've created the FDIC, you know, after the Great Depression, which comes in and rescues a bank. Well, it takes over a bank. It rescues its day-to-day operations, but gets rid of its management and sells it usually very quickly to someone else. But the problem is, if you think of Lehman Brothers, AIG, Citibank, Bank of America, this is not one company, one bank. These are all massive conglomerates with hundreds of interlocking companies. Some of them are banks, some are insurance companies, some are travel agencies or airplane leasing companies or who knows what. And the existing FDIC procedure just doesn't work for them. So they were stuck in this kind of Goldilocks thing. They only could totally save them or totally let them fail.
Okay, let's run the movie back to last year and assume that Timothy Geithner's proposals are in place. Lehman Brothers faces imminent collapse. What happens?
So what they say, first of all, is hopefully the regulators have known better, had more advanced notice, but it's not entirely clear. I mean, they are saying there will now be a committee of regulators, and we know how committees are always very, very effective. The idea, though, is if it comes to that day and the knock on the door, Lehman Brothers is about to go under, that the government does not have to face this Hobbesian choice of either we kill you or we completely save you. The government now has a tool. If this law passes, they can come in, fire all the managers, make the shareholders, the owners of the company, lose their money, the bondholders, the investors, the debt holders lose their money. But the government comes in and runs the company long enough to slowly sell off the assets.
Runs the company, sells off the assets, and also puts government money in, as the government did with AIG or Bank of America or Citibank?
Yes. Under this, the Geithner proposal, the taxpayer is still on the hook. We still will have to pay to rescue these companies, but with a important difference, he says. The important difference being that the government will not put any taxpayer money in until the management and the ownership has already suffered the consequences of the collapse. So we will not be bailing out the actual people who caused the trouble. We'll just be putting money in to keep the bank functioning so the overall system is stable after the people who caused the trouble have lost.
Adam, obviously there are going to be more debates on this, and we can expect fights about the details of this plan. What do you think the regulation really needs to include to be effective?
I think it's something very simple. When I talk to economists, it turns out it's something very simple. It's a feeling of fear. We want the managers of banks, the investors in banks, to feel truly in their gut that if this bank gets in trouble, they will lose their money, lose their jobs, they will suffer the consequences. And that is what any legislation needs to provide. If they don't feel that, then they're going to make risky and bad decisions and will probably be back in a financial crisis.
It needs to say to the bankers, your bank may be too big to fail, but you aren't.
Exactly.
Thank you, Adam.
Thank you, Robert.
It's Adam Davidson of NPR's Planet Money.
Support for Planet Money comes from Ally Bank, committed to straightforward banking, including customer service with a real human being 24/7. Learn more at allybank.com.
And here's a hint, though, that the global economy is picking up. Airline travel is up. And in the U.S., a few airports are seeing their first gains in 18 months. From member station WPLN in Nashville, Blake Farmer reports.
The number of passengers flying into and out of Nashville International Airport has dropped every month since February 2008. Until now, September figures climbed 3% over last year, and the numbers have at least the makings of a trend. Airport Operations Chief Monty Burgess says he hasn't found irregularities.
I don't know that there's any one single event or activity that can really speak to why the passenger traffic increased.
Like Nashville, airports in Los Angeles and Kansas City also posted their first passenger gains in a year and a half.
On an industry-wide basis here in the United States, the numbers are still down.
Kevin Shore is an airline analyst with InterVistas Consulting Group. He says passenger growth remains isolated to a handful of airports in the U.S. for now.
I think the airlines are feeling a bit more bullish than they did in the past, and most of them, I do believe, see some kind of rebound coming.
According to the Airport Council International, worldwide air traffic has improved to a bit better than flat. Shore says the real test is whether air travel rebounds during the upcoming holiday season. For NPR News, I'm Blake Farmer in Nashville.
This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Steve Inskeep. Good morning. There was a time just a few months ago when it may have felt like we were never going to reach this day. Later this morning, the government releases figures to tell us how much the economy grew during the last 3 months. And economists are predicting the data will show the economy grew for the first time in a year. Not that everything's better. Unemployment still very high, and yet here a suggestion of some economic improvement. NPR's John Itzty is here to talk with us about it. Good morning, John.
Hi, Steve.
How strong is this growth likely to be?
Well, economists think the economy might have grown at an annual rate of as much as 3% in the past 3 months. That would be a big bounce back from the 6.4% rate of contraction that we went through at the beginning of this year. The big question is, can we hope to have this kind of robust growth going forward?
And that is key because when you look at other severe recessions, sometimes there is a double dip recession or in a nightmare scenario, the Great Depression, where there was now and again a glimmer of hope and then things went bad again.
Right. But in this case, the government has taken strong action and we've gotten a lot of fuel in the last 3 months from this government stimulus. The Cash for Clunkers program that boosted car sales and then put cars back on the dealers' lots. We've had the home buyer tax credit that's helped to support housing prices. And then, of course, we've had the Fed injecting trillions of dollars into the economy to keep interest rates low. We've also had the Obama stimulus package, $787 billion, about half of which has been spent so far. So this growth has been supported by an unprecedented amount of government stimulus.
I suppose the question must be whether that growth can be sustained without the stimulus when the stimulus is spent.
There's still a lot of uncertainty about that. We've seen a lot of companies reporting profits over the last few months, but a lot of that profit making is due to cuts, including cuts in jobs. I mean, during this last quarter, when we expect that we've seen some strong growth, the economy has actually continued to shed jobs, more than 500,000 of them. And it's going to be hard to get the economy on a real sustainable growth path until you start to add jobs and put money in people's pockets. And economists don't expect that to happen until sometime well into next year.
And we've talked about that a lot here. Employers are reluctant to believe that the improvement is permanent and take on the quasi-permanent expense of a new employee with all the benefits and everything that goes along with that.
That's absolutely right. And so we're going to have to continue to depend in the next few months on some of this government stimulus. I mean, there's still some stimulus left in the tank.
I wonder if that's a good side of something that was criticized early in the year. The government was criticized for not spending stimulus money quickly enough, but I suppose that means that here we are, the economy seems to be improving, and there's still a lot in the bank.
You know, that was part of the planning. If you'll remember back to when this was being debated, part of the issue was we want to have stimulus long enough so that we can sustain, get growth at a sustainable level. So we'll continue to see a lot of government stimulus in the coming months.
And let's remember here, John, it's even though there's an expectation that we'll hear about growth returning today, this is still an extraordinary situation with extraordinary government spending after an extraordinary crisis. Is there any sense among the people you talk with about how long it might take to get back to what feels like a normal economy?
Mm-hmm. It's going to take a long time before we get back to normal. And normal is going to be something different than the rapid growth rates that we had during the bubble years. In fact, a lot of economists say we'll have a new normal, growth rates in the 1 to 2% over a period of time as we make these adjustments. So it could feel very different for the next several years.
NPR's John Isty, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Steve.